Abhinandit, one should praise. Dhruvam, sure. Mrityum, death. Adhruvam, not sure. Va, either. Asya, of this body. Jivitam, the duration of life. Kalam, eternal time. Param, supreme. Pratikshetha, one must observe. Bhutanam, of the living entities. Prabhava, manifestation. Appayam, disappearance. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Since the material body is sure to be vanquished, and the duration of one's life is not fixed, neither death nor life is to be praised. Rather, one should observe the eternal time factor, in which the living entity manifests himself and disappears. Please repeat after me. Since the material body, is sure to be vanquished, and the duration of one's life is not fixed, neither death, nor life, is to be praised. Rather, one should observe the eternal time factor. In which the living entity manifests himself and disappears. Shriniketan Prabhu, it'll be nice if somebody gets another asana for Shriniketan Prabhu. We'll give a joint class. But we'll be more comfortable to have you in the front. Get ana. No, is there any? Or we can share this. We are not. Please, come. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Yesterday, I'll say a few things that was just flashing across my mind, that yesterday actually we were discussing about the importance of focusing ourselves in the projects in order to make this movement. And the example I was thinking of is your presence here. Like, you stayed and all kinds of wonderful things happened. And from that we actually need to learn that we have to focus ourselves. We are so thankful. Robert, we are so pleased that you have committed yourself. And you know what Prabhupada will say? Prabhupada will say that you always stay here and don't go anywhere. Shriniketan Prabhu ki jai. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanande jai. Arjun Prabhu ki jai. Hari Bol. Hare Krishna Arjun Prabhu. Shriniketan Prabhu has a wonderful friend with him all along, and that is His Grace Arjun Prabhu, who naturally committed himself because this is his place. And he wanted this wonderful island of Mauritius must have the divine grace of Srila Prabhupada and become a very wonderful spiritual heaven. Materially it is like heaven, but material heaven just leads to sense gratification. But the purpose of Mauritius should be to develop spiritual benefit by receiving Srila Prabhupada's mercy, by receiving Krishna consciousness. So these two very wonderful disciples of Srila Prabhupada had contributed so much in this island by giving, by bringing Krishna consciousness and distributing this wonderful gift of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the people here. And all of us are extremely grateful to Sri Nikitan Prabhu and Arjun Prabhu for their wonderful service to His Divine Grace. Sri Nikitan Prabhu ki, Arjun Prabhu ki, all glory is to the assembled devotees. All glory is to His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. So now I'll go to the purport. I'll read the translation once again. Since the material body is sure to be vanquished and the duration of one's life is not fixed, neither death nor life is to be praised. Rather, one should observe the eternal time factor in which the living entity manifests himself and disappears. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The living entities in the material nature, not only at the present, but also in the past, have been involved in trying to solve the problems of birth and death. Some stress death and point to the illusory existence of everything material, whereas others stress life, trying to preserve it perpetually and enjoy it to the best of their ability. Both of them are fools and rascals. In this, it is advised that one observe the eternal time factor, which is the cause of the material body's appearance and disappearance, and that one observe the living entity's entanglement in this time factor. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur therefore sings in his Gitavali, Anadi karma phale paribhavar navajale toribare nadikhi upaye. One should observe the activities of eternal time, which is the cause of birth and death. Before the creation of the present millennium, the living entities were under the influence of the time factor, and within the time factor the material world comes into existence and is again annihilated, bhutva bhutva praliyate. Being under the control of the time factor, the living entities appear and die life after life. This time factor is the impersonal representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who gives the living entities, conditioned by material nature, a chance to emerge from this nature by surrendering to Him. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtham Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamiham Dadati Svapadantikam. Bandeham Shri Guru Shri
yut pad kamalam shri gurun vaishnavamsha shri rupam sagrajatam sahagana raghunathanvitam tvam sajivam sadvaitam savadhutam parijana sahitam krishna chaitanya devam shri radha krishna padam sahagana lalita shri vishakhanitamcha he krishna karuna sindhu dina bandho jagatpate gopesha gopika kanta radha kanta namastute tapta kanchana gaurangi radhe vrindavaneshwari vrishabhanu sute devi pranamami hari priye bancha kalpa tarubhascha kripa sindhu bhayevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadha shri vasadi gaura bhakta hare krishna 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 hare 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 ram hare ram ram hare hare
nabhinande dhruvam mrittum adhruvam vasya jivitam kalam param pratiksheta Bhutanam Prabhavapayam. Since the material body is sure to be vanquished and the duration of one's life is not fixed, neither death nor life is to be praised. Rather, one should observe the eternal time factor in which the living entity manifests himself and disappears. So, the essence of Krishna consciousness has been presented just in this verse. Once Prabhupada told me, I was reading Chaitanya Charitamrita to Srila Prabhupada in the later days, in the last few months when Srila Prabhupada was in Vrindavan. Sometimes he used to ask us to read from Chaitanya Charitamrita or Srimad Bhagavatam. And in one such day when I was reading Chaitanya Charitamrita to Srila Prabhupada, he just mentioned, Prabhupada used to make some comments from time to time, and he just commented that the scriptures are like an ocean of nectar. From wherever we drink, it is all nectar and nothing but nectar. Like every single verse, actually, it is said that every single word of Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna himself. Every single word of Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna himself. Not only the verses. That is how we must see that these scriptures are the words or the sound vibration coming from the spiritual sky. These are not some mundane words. These are not some mundane descriptions. These informations has nothing to do with this material nature. All that have been mentioned in the scriptures are actually the sound vibration coming from the spiritual sky. And they are giving us the information how to go back to the spiritual sky. These are giving us the information how we came from the material nature, why we came to the material nature, and how we can go back to the spiritual world. And in this verse we are seeing, just one verse is giving us the perfect understanding of the entire Vedas, isn't it? That the sum and substance of this verse is that in this material nature we are born, we live for some time, and then we die. But this birth, life, duration of life and death is not really important. Neither birth nor death is important. Nor life and annihilation is important. It's only our journey through this particular space in the vehicle of time. Kala, time, has been considered to be, time has been considered to be an extension of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the material nature. And the time is constantly flowing. Pravahamana. Pravahamana means time is constantly flowing. It is how it is flowing in the material nature. Time is flowing from future to the past. The time that hasn't come as yet is called future. And where is it going to? It is going into the past and through the present. And in this material nature, present actually is only a fleeting concept. Present in this material nature doesn't really exist. It's only a fleeting concept. We can consider, before we have said pray, is gone into the past, right? Before we have uttered the P of the present, where did the present go? Where is the present? Just gone. And it's just a fleeting concept. In the material nature, time exists in three factors: past, present and future. But if we analyze it in this way, then we can see that it is existing actually in the form of future and past. And present is only a fleeting concept. Present doesn't really exist. The reality is, the time is constantly flowing in this way. Whereas, in the spiritual sky, it is diametrically opposed. Completely different. In the spiritual sky, how does time exist? Time exists there as eternally present. There the time is eternally present. From here we won't be able to understand what it actually means. Time is eternally present. Whereas in the material nature, present is just a concept. We are thinking that it is, but time is gone into the, from future to the past. And what is happening? In the flow of time, living entities are coming and going. And when they come across certain situations, certain living entities, they develop relationships. To some, they have developed attraction. Towards some, they develop repulsion. When they are attracted to somebody, they love that person. And when they are repulsed by somebody, they hate that person. And it is happening in course of time by the arrangement of guna and karma. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha. But ahankara vimhuratma kartaham iti mannate. In this material nature, everything is happening due to guna and karma. But being bewildered by our false ego, ahankara, we think that we are the doers. But actually, we are not the doers. We are simply puppets in the hands of the material nature who is controlling us through these two factors, guna and karma. And our existence in the material nature is in relation to kala, time. And what is kala? The kala is an impersonal manifestation of the Supreme Personality of God. Now, the consideration, as Prabhupada is pointing out in this verse, in the purport of this verse, that we should neither become interested about staying in this planet or our appearance in this planet and departure of the planet. Birth and death is not really important. But what is happening in this material nature? In this material nature, one group of people are thinking how to stop birth. And another group of people is thinking how to stop death. Right? And Prabhupada says that both of them are a bunch of rascals. The Mayavadis, the impersonalists, or even the Buddha, the nihilists, the Buddhists, their consideration is that this place is full of suffering, so let's make arrangement that we do not have to come back again and again here. We do not have to come back again. And the materialists, they are thinking, oh, life, this material nature is so beautiful, and there is so much fun, there is so much enjoyment, so let us stay here forever. Let's not ever die. Let's stop death. Because death is the anticlimax. We made so many wonderful arrangements for enjoyment. Why should we leave? Why should we leave this place? We must stay here forever and ever and ever. So let's try to stop death. But no matter how much they try to stop birth or stop death, they are not successful. They'll never be successful. It will happen only by Krishna's divine arrangement. And when he makes that arrangement, it will happen. We don't have to worry about it. But what really matters is mama janmani janmanishvare bhavatad bhaktir ahitukitvai. What is a devotee's prayer? Devotee's prayer is that if I can render my service here in this material nature, then let me come back again and again and again and again. Because the goal of life is to serve Krishna. If Krishna wants me to serve here, I will serve here. Life after life. And that is why a devotee's prayer is mama janmani janmanishvare. Life after life. Bhavatar bhaktir ahitukitvai. That's the important factor. That I can develop that I can get an opportunity to serve you life after life. Then I don't mind coming here, coming back again and again. The question may arise at this point. That Prabhupada sometimes says that finish off all your business and go back to the spiritual world. That you complete your business and never come back. But then again, Prabhupada pointed out that understanding is just to inspire people to stop their sense gratification. the tendency for sense gratification, and become serious about spiritual life. That in this life only I'll become a pure devotee. But when one becomes a pure devotee, then it doesn't really matter whether he is here or in the spiritual world. Because the spiritual world is the place where one is constantly engaged in rendering devotional service to Krishna. Now, wherever we can render devotional service to Krishna is non-different from the spiritual sky, is the spiritual sky. In this respect, Prabhupada mentioned that there is a very thin line between the material and spiritual nature. There is a very thin line separating the material nature from spiritual nature. And you know what that line is? That line that separates material from spiritual is where we put ourselves in the center, that is material nature. And where we put Krishna in the center, that's the spiritual nature. So it is not a geographical consideration. Material nature and spiritual nature is not a geographical consideration. It is a consideration of consciousness. It is our consciousness that makes some place material and some place spiritual. Now, if being here we are able to serve Krishna, render devotional service to Krishna, is that material nature or spiritual nature?
Spiritual.
It's spiritual. Now, if we go to the Vaikuntha but don't render service to Krishna, then what's the use? Of course, spiritual nature will never become material. Spiritual nature will always remain spiritual. But what will happen is, we'll lose our right to live there. In the spiritual sky, if we don't render service to Krishna, we'll be kicked out of that place and be dumped in here. Sometimes we see some people go back to the spiritual sky, but can't stay there. One such classic example is Durvasa Muni. Durvasa Muni offended Ambarish Maharaj. And then Vishnu Sudarshan Chakra came chasing him to chop his head off. That's what the Sudarshan Chakra does. And because he offended a Vaishnava, Ambarish Maharaj, immediately Sudarshan Chakra came to finish him off. And he was a mystic yogi, very powerful personality. So he was running at a faster speed than Sudarshan Chakra. And he went to all the different places. He went to all the exalted personalities in the material nature. They couldn't do anything. He went to Shiva Loka. Their Lord Shiva also couldn't do anything to help him. Then finally he even went to Vaikuntha and went to Narayan and said, "Please save me, please save me." Then Narayan said, "Look, I can't save you. Even I cannot protect you. But if the person you have committed the offense to, if he forgives you, then the Sudarshan Chakra will desist, will stop chasing him." So Durvasa Muni came back and begged forgiveness from Ambarish Maharaj. And then what did Ambarish Maharaj say? His thing was, "You didn't commit any offense to me. I'm sorry that you had to go through so much difficulty. I didn't take any offense." And that's the Vaishnava. One may commit offense to a Vaishnava, but as soon as one comes and begs forgiveness from a Vaishnava, he will immediately forgive him. That is how wonderful the nature of a Vaishnava is. That's how forgiving he is. So here we can see that Durvasa Muni went to Vaikuntha, but he couldn't stay there. Why? Why Durvasa Muni couldn't stay there in Vaikuntha? Because he was lacking the service attitude. Jai Shri Krishna Balaram Ki. Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nithai Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Gaur Premanande Hare. So, this is how the Lord makes that and made that arrangement. That if we don't render service, then we won't be able to stay in the spiritual world. Another way to look at it is that the spiritual world is the region of absolute truth. Absolute truth, the region of absolute truth means no untruth can exist there. To exist there, we all have to become real. Now, what is our real identity? That we all are eternal servants of Krishna. So if we do not become situated in that identity, if we do not become servants of Krishna and render service to Krishna, we won't be able to stay in the spiritual sky. On the other hand, this material nature is a place where those criminals, those who have stopped to serve Krishna, are sent and in order to receive punishment. Now, in this material nature, if one accepts the service to Krishna and becomes a servant of Krishna, then he is not in the material nature anymore. He has become situated in his real identity. Then he is also situated in absolute truth. Therefore, for him, this material nature also is non-different from the spiritual sky. Now here we can see the difference. Those who want to enjoy in this material nature, they want to remain here and by making an arrangement so that they don't have to die. Materialistic people are trying to make an arrangement to conquer death. And the impersonalist, those who somehow have realized that this place is a terrible place, it's full of suffering, it's full of misery, they are trying to conquer birth. That we won't be born again. We must become liberated. Mukti. Mukti or liberation means, according to them, that no more birth and death. But devotee is situated in a perfect understanding. What is a devotee's understanding? Birth and death doesn't really matter. Birth is an arrangement to come to this material nature. And death is an arrangement to get out of the material nature. What really matters is how I'm going to render my service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How am I going to render service to the Lord? That is his only concern. Whether I am here or there doesn't really matter. What really matters is whether I am engaged in the service to the Lord. If I am engaged in the service of the Lord, I am in the spiritual sky. If I am not engaged in the service of the Lord, then I am in the material nature. Therefore, it is entirely up to me to figure out where I want to be. Do I want to be in the material nature or whether I want to be in the spiritual nature? And it's a matter of attitude, it's a matter of consciousness. If I render service to the Lord, I'm in the spiritual world. But if I don't, then I'll be in trouble. I'll be subjected to the trident of material nature. Maya has a trident in her hand. With that she kills the demon, Mahishasura. And what is the trident? The trident is a threefold misery. And with this threefold misery, she is taking care of a demoniac attitude. The demoniac attitude means defiance to Krishna and trying to enjoy the material nature. The more we try to enjoy the material nature, the more Maya will inflict the threefold miseries upon us. We want to enjoy, but what will we get in return? We'll get suffering. The more we try to enjoy in this material nature, the more we will end up suffering. That is the law of material nature. To every action there is an equal and opposite reaction. The more you try to enjoy, the more you will suffer. But Krishna consciousness releases us from that material condition of suffering. An example is given: if the material nature is considered to be like a prison house, a place where the prisoners are subjected to punishment. Although in the prison house it's full of prisoners, but in the prison house those who are serving the king, is he a prisoner? In the prison house there are some people who are actually taking care of the prison house on behalf of the king, right? The prison in charge, the prison departmental heads, the prison wardens, and all these people. Are they prisoners?
No.
They are not prisoners. Those who are serving the king in the prison house, they are not prisoners. They are actually king's men. Although they are there, they are not imprisoned. They are there to render some service on behalf of the king. And then, when their duty will be over, they will just walk out of the prison house, step out of the prison house and come out into the free world. Similarly, when we become engaged in serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we are not under the clutches of Maya anymore. We are not subjected to the laws of the material nature anymore. We are not prisoners of this material nature anymore. So if we are not prisoners, then why should we worry about whether we are in the prison house or outside of the prison house? At that time what really matters is how nicely we are executing our duty towards our Lord and Master. And that is why a devotee is not concerned about birth and death. Yes, he is happy when he gets an opportunity. Or if someone is born, he is happy, he thinks, well, a new soul has come. New means a soul has come in a new body. Let us engage him. Let's train him up to become a good servant of Krishna. And if somebody dies, we feel, okay, he had been a nice devotee. Now he will go to his next destination and get an opportunity to serve the Lord in an even better situation. Because Krishna consciousness gradually takes us to a better and better situation of service. So when we leave this body, rendering devotional service throughout our life, practicing the process of Krishna consciousness throughout our life, then at least two things are guaranteed. That either we'll go back to Godhead, go back to the spiritual sky, or even if we come back, we will be situated in a better form of, we'll get an opportunity to render service in a better way. Because we'll be promoted. But if we don't render devotional service, then we'll become demoted. We'll again fall in the cycle of birth and death, and then we don't know again when we'll get another opportunity. That is why once he got this opportunity to render devotional service, once he got this opportunity to become a devotee of the Lord, we must take full advantage of this opportunity and make it a point not to deviate from this path again. Let's become fixed up and become situated in our constitutional position as a Jiver Sharup Hoy Krishner Nitya Das. In our constitutional position, we the living entities are eternal servants of Krishna. Jai Srila Prabhupada, Gaur Premanande Hare Krishna. Shriniketan Prabhu, Arjun Prabhu, do you have any comments? Do you want to add something?
I just wondered how the Sudarshan Chakra, you know, how the Rasa Muni could actually escape or make sure that this is the time to really get up.
Yeah. So actually, we have to understand that they are these mystic yogis. I mean, they are very close to their spiritual identity. Only thing is that they haven't become engaged in this devotional service. They know Krishna. They know, and they are situated in Shantarash. They are situated in the spiritual identity, but they haven't become engaged in devotional service as yet. And that is why they could, I mean, it comes in the form of mystic power. And with the mystic power, they can practically do whatever they want to do. Like, they are very powerful personalities. So they could actually move at a faster speed than Sudarshan Chakra. Right? But, and ultimately we have to consider also that this is actually the Lord's arrangement. It's His pastime to give us, to teach us something. Because we shouldn't also undermine a personality like Durvasa Muni. He's a very, very exotic personality. We can see even the devotees were afraid of him. You know, it is Durvasa Muni that cursed the Jadus that they'll kill each other, they'll destroy each other. You know. You see, it so happened is they were having a kind of a picnic on the bank of Prabhash, in Prabhash Tirtha. And they saw these sages, Narada, Durvasa, Angira. And they took a mess, mushal, a mess, which is a head like, you know, round head. And they tied that on Samba's belly, dressed him up as a woman, and took him to those sages, and just to make fun, they said, "Can you please forecast whether he'll give birth to a girl or a boy?" And they got very upset. Durvasa is famous for his anger. Narad Muni wouldn't mind actually, but personally, Durvasa couldn't tolerate any nonsense. So he said, it'll give birth to something that will be the cause of your destruction, the cause of the destruction of the entire family. And then they came to their senses, they realized. So here we can see that these personalities are so exalted that they can even curse Krishna's family members, you know. Like, who are actually liberated souls. So this is how powerful. And materially it is seen as mystic power. But ultimately we have to understand that they are playing the roles in the Lord's pastimes in a certain way. Hare Krishna, Shriniketan Prabhu. Arjun Prabhu, some comment?
One devotee told me that at the Rajasriya sacrifice, when Lord Krishna tolerated the 100 offenses of Shishupala. And the other Kshatriyas were so upset, they all pulled out their swords. And it was almost clashing like a little party. But when Lord Krishna called the Sudarshan Chakra, first they were all blinded. And then the glare of the Sudarshan Chakra melted all their swords.
Yeah. Thank you. Does anybody have any question or comment?
He's asking, can you explain? He's making a Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj.
Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, okay. Okay. Yeah, recently I visited Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, and Maharaj is in a very difficult condition. See, last year, last summer, about say in June, I think, about 10 months ago, Maharaj was in, he was, I think, in Toronto Ratha Yatra, and he developed some complications, and he was advised to, he was in Detroit for the Ratha Yatra. And you see, on his left foot, Maharaj had a lump. For 10 years he had it, and you know, like they checked it, and they said that it was, it is harmless. That lump, that tumor, was not cancerous. It was benign. But this time, when he went for the treatment, they detected something. One thing they detected was that he had very high level of diabetes. And all this while he didn't have any diabetes. He didn't have any trace of diabetes. But all of a sudden they detected that he had a very, very high level of sugar in his blood. And there was other complications, and they suspected something with his tumor also in the leg. Now, Maharaj generally used to live in Washington. His center, main center, was in Washington. And he has some disciples who are doctors. So he thought that he would go and have a treatment there, check up there. So from Detroit he went to Washington and got the treatment, got a checkup. And through that checkup they found out that he had cancer. The type of cancer he had is called melanoma. It's a skin cancer. It's a cancer of the skin. And generally, it is not so dangerous. And secondly, the people with thicker skin, darker skin means thicker skin, don't get that. Generally, Indians and Africans don't get melanoma cancer. And there's another surprise that Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, generally an African person should not get melanoma cancer. But the cancer that he developed was melanoma cancer. But that cancer, again, it is in a very, very dangerous situation. So, at that time, they had a few considerations how they could treat him. And they tried to treat him in various ways, but it didn't work. The treatment didn't work. Then Maharaj went to Brazil, because there is some healer who is supposed to have cured cancer. So he was taken to Brazil for the treatment, but it didn't work. And in the meantime, the cancer spread over 80% of his body. So it was in a very critical state. And then about 4 months ago, it was decided that in order to stop the cancer growing, his leg should be amputated, his leg should be cut off, left leg. Because the cancer was one thing, and that was the only thing they could do, to cut the leg off, to prevent the cancer from growing. So he had his amputation about 4 months ago. Not even four, maybe 3 months ago. Yeah. But it also didn't work. It spread all over. It continued to spread, you know, all over his body. And so all this while I was thinking of visiting Maharaj. When I got that he was going to get his leg amputated, so I thought that I would go and meet with him. But at the time I got the information that soon after the operation Maharaj will go to rehabilitation center. You see, in America they have a thing like once your leg is amputated, they put artificial leg and they teach you how to use that. And one can actually, even though the leg has been cut off, one can have an artificial limb called prosthetics, and one can continue to function. And we are even told that maybe Maharaj will be dancing also. And so he had to go to rehabilitation center. So when he was in rehabilitation center, we couldn't really spend time with him. So that's why I decided not to go. Then the GBC meeting started and I had to stay back. So right after Mayapur festival, Gopurna festival, I decided to go to America. First I went to London for a few days and then I went to America to meet Maharaj. And all this while I was thinking that he must be in such a difficult state. Like leg has been cut off, amputated, you know, body must have been suffering so much. And you see, whenever I would phone Maharaj, actually I wouldn't phone even to speak to Maharaj. I would rather phone to find out how he is. But as soon as he found out that I phoned, Maharaj would take the phone call, you know, no matter what situation he is. Once he took my phone call, even in the hospital, I called somebody on his cell phone, and he told Maharaj that I called, and Maharaj said he wanted to speak to me, you know. So he is extremely amazing person. Therefore, I stopped calling him also, because I thought that if I call, he would take the trouble to speak to me. I didn't even stop sending emails, thinking that Maharaj will have to reply. So, but when I went to America, when I went to meet Maharaj, I found that his spirit was so high. He was not at all affected by the condition of his body. Like his leg has been cut off. His only thing is that he can't do things himself. He'll have to take help. Like for any movement, somebody has to help him. Even to go to the toilet, he can't go on his own. Initially he was using the crutches. But what happened is, his cancer spread through the bones also. And one day, when he was just turning from on his side, he heard a sound. And actually, because the bones became brittle, his collarbone actually broke. His left collarbone broke. And because his collarbone broke, he couldn't use the crutches anymore. He had to. So, and that is the time they had to actually literally carry him. So even to go to the bathroom. But it must be very painful, like collarbone broken. Can you imagine if one bone breaks, you know, how painful it is. And then he has developed all this cancer all throughout his body. His system is not functioning, you know, the cancer spread into different organs. But he is not at all affected by that. Or when I met first, maybe I can, at this point I can read. Do you have the computer, Chandrasekhar? I just, after meeting with Maharaj, I just sent out a message to the GBC body. So I'll just read it out so you get an idea. And from this point onwards, maybe I can.
The body is preparing the natural half.
but the soul is happy. Yeah. The spirit soul is not ever affected. And that is the sign of a pure devotee. We saw Prabhupada also. He was not at all affected. And actually, Bhaktivinoda Maharaj was reminding me of Srila Prabhupada in his last days. Prabhupada, he was not at all affected with the condition of the body. He was just perfectly situated. He was translating even a few days before he left the body. Prabhupada, of course, he was 82 years old, his body was emaciated. He was bedridden all the time. But he was totally unaffected. And similarly, I saw Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj also, is totally unaffected by the condition of his body. So I met Maharaj on the first meeting was on the 11th morning, 11th April, during the day. And we spent about, that day we spent about 3-4 hours together. And the next morning, right after Mangal Arati, I just started to write about our meeting with Maharaj. So 12th April 2005, early morning. I came to Gita Nagari yesterday to see Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. Since I got to know about his critical health condition about 4 months ago, I had been planning to visit him. However, when I arranged to go to him, I was informed that he was going for an operation and then to the rehabilitation center. And then I became busy with the GBC meeting. Finally, I managed to come to America and got to see him. I knew that this meeting with him would be extremely uplifting spiritually, but I did not have the slightest idea of how wonderful it would really be. In spite of his loss of weight, he looks the same, maybe even more beautiful, more serene, due to his profound spiritual advancement and unfathomable inner tranquility. When his face lights up with his usual radiant smile, you get a flash of realization that he totally transcended his bodily platform and became perfectly situated in his spiritual identity. He reached the destination that is the ultimate goal of life, that we all are struggling to reach in some lifetime. Our first session lasted for about one and a half hours. And most of the time he was talking. That 1.5 hours that I was with him, he was doing all the talking. And when I came, I did not know what to expect. He was doing most of the talking. When I came, I did not know what to expect. Recently, I stopped phoning him or even sending emails to him, thinking that he should not be made to strain. However, when I met him, I was amazed to see that in spite of all his physical difficulties, he is still so vibrant with his vitality and enthusiasm. He reminded me of Srila Prabhupada during his last days. Absolutely transcendental to the material nature and totally unaffected by his physical condition. He has indeed become the perfect son of the perfect father. Had his leg not been amputated and his body not have reduced to even less than half of what he used to be, one could have been very easily made to think that there is nothing wrong with him. The reality is that he probably has just a few more weeks to be with us. His doctor actually mentioned that he should have left his body by now. It was a wonderful experience to hear him talk about his realizations. He did not just speak, but poured his heart out, and I felt myself extremely fortunate to receive that. To receive that abundant flow of nectar. He spoke extensively about his involvement in ISKCON and his relationship with various devotees. Many experiences had been sources of inspiration and ecstasy, and some other of misunderstanding and pain. There had been conflicts and clashes. Some of them led to some passionate encounters, and he had reacted quite heavily. But now he can see that it is due to their concern for the welfare of the movement that they acted in that way. Now he can appreciate that everyone's intentions were sincere and honest. Now he does not bear any grudge or grievance against anyone. Now there is nothing but good wishes, appreciation and love for everyone. Especially for those with whom he had been so wonderfully related with the bond of Krishna consciousness by the divine arrangement of his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. When he was speaking, I could feel the profound tranquility that was prevailing in his heart. I looked at him with spontaneous admiration and became aware once again how beautiful he looked. I could clearly perceive that this beauty was not produced out of skin and bones. It was a different kind of beauty that radiates due to his inner tranquility caused by profound spiritual realization. I could get a glimpse of his spiritual advancement and felt a deep satisfaction that somehow I had been related to such a great devotee of Krishna. I felt an urge to embrace him, but then remembered that I should not do that because he fractured his collarbone and it would hurt him. It would hurt him. He spoke about the futility of our plans and the inconceivable nature of Krishna's arrangements. Last summer he was all set for his world tour, 35 seminars in the major cities of the world, scores of appointments with the heads of states and high-ranking government officials, TV talk shows and interviews and so many prominent TV channels. Then all of a sudden, just one medical test shattered them all. Now the eventful life of John Favors, that was his name before he became a devotee. Now the eventful life of John Favors, Ghanashyam Das Brahmachari, Bhakti Tirtha Swami, Swami Krishnapad is coming to an end. A very wonderful journey through one body in this planet is about to come to an end. He was happy that soon all the sufferings and pains would be over. He has a profound conviction that wherever Srila Prabhupada would take him would be the most wonderful place to be in. He reflected and revealed to me that even when he was just a new devotee, he used to write in his diary as if each day was his last day. And he used to pray to Krishna that he could take full advantage of that day and be prepared to leave his body whenever the time came. I begged his forgiveness for all the offenses I have committed to him consciously and unconsciously. He smiled and said, "You can never commit any offense. You have always been so nice to me. Whenever I went to Mayapur, you made such nice arrangements for me. You made me stay in your room and took care of me so nicely." I was embarrassed to hear him speak like that. Trying to change the subject, I asked him whether he has any instruction for me. He told, "People trust you. Wherever you go, Wherever you go, many people develop their faith in you. Our movement needs this. People have to have faith in our leaders. They have to trust us. Please continue to serve Srila Prabhupada's mission in this way. He paused for a while and then spoke. Please take care of my disciples. Please take care of my disciples. They will need your guidance and care. My voice choked and I had difficulty restraining my tears. I held his hand and said, please bless me that I can properly execute that responsibility and never ever fail them. He reminded us so often about the need of love in our dealings with each other. It is out of his genuine concern for the downtrodden and deprived in our movement that he always stood by their side and spoke so boldly on their behalf. He generated so much faith and confidence in the hearts of so many. He was the visionary of our movement and he pioneered the preaching on so many different fronts. People around the world who are outstanding in their respective spheres recognized his greatness, appreciated him for his spiritual qualities, and admired him for his achievements when they got to know him. One such person was Prince Mangosuthu Buthelezi, the president of the Inkatha Freedom Party in South Africa and the head of the Zulu tribe. He had always been so full of admiration for him. Another such person is Mr. Frank Ward, a member of parliament in England. After hearing his speech in South Africa during its independence celebration, he described him as one of the most brilliant persons he ever met. He is undoubtedly one of the most brilliant sons of Srila Prabhupada. His commitment to his mission had been exemplary and his achievements exceptional. He preached to the heads of states. He preached to the heads of states, to very high-ranking political personalities, to the generals. The list can go on and on. Of course, there is no doubt that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement will go on by His divine mercy. And inconceivable arrangements. However, at times one cannot help but wonder, what is his plan? Why he is taking such a powerful leader of a movement as Bhaktivedanta Maharaj away? When his input is so important for effectively spreading Krishna consciousness throughout the world. This planet will indeed suffer an irreparable loss and we will become bereft of one of our most valiant generals. Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj ki
jai.
Hare Krishna. Yes, so that is all I have to say about our meeting in Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. Gaur Premanande, Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
All glories to the assembled devotees.